It is important to remember, it sounds obvious, but it's worth saying, that the Chinese Communist Party was a communist party. Now, there's still a party in power today called the Chinese Communist Party, and they rule over the world's greatest population. But Chinese communism today in China isn't really terribly communist in the classic sense. It's long since lost its revolutionary fervour and become more a sort of pragmatic way of organising society. But back in the 1920s and 30s, we're talking about communism as real revolution, class war. In other words, the belief that different classes, the upper classes, the middle class, the working class, will inevitably be in conflict with each other, and that people needed to take sides. In a country like China in the 20s and 30s, very poor in many places, very socially divided, very unhappy, and also, of course, a victim of Western imperialism, countries including Britain, France, America, and also, of course, Japan, which was an imperial power, basically could either carve up territory or trade rights in China as they wished. And this very unhappy combination led to some very radical solutions. And the most radical were those from the Chinese communists, who argued that nothing less than a complete overturning of society, a complete radical anti-imperialist and domestic revolution, was necessary. And it's important to remember the attractiveness, the potency of that message to a wider population that found life very, very difficult. Not necessarily by any means the majority. I think it's a myth, which you'll often read in kind of communist propaganda, that everyone heard Chairman Mao's message and rose up behind him. This isn't remotely true. Lots of places had no communist influence within China, and other places didn't find it very attractive. But there was certainly enough, there definitely was enough to its powerful social message to mean that a considerable number of people found themselves going over to the Communist Party because its message was attractive. And at a time, our own era, when people grow up having never known a world where communism in the classic sense was really a very powerful part of the way in which the world thought about itself, it's worth projecting back into the past and understanding why people might be attracted to a philosophy which perhaps nowadays sounds violent or difficult to understand in terms of its ideological principles. And that leads me to the final factor